Welcome to day 295 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we are switching to the New American Standard Bible for our readings. And today our reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. Contained in this amazing Gospel chapter is one of the most outstanding treatises on the subject of forgiveness. So beginning today at Matthew 18, beginning at verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into the fiery hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the subject of forgiveness. This is the heart of chapter 18 of Matthew, and I don't want to pass it by because it's an issue that every single person on the earth deals with. There's not a day that would go by in your life where you do not have an opportunity to retain unforgiveness in your heart. In other words, you have an opportunity to have people offend you every single day, even in the smallest way, and then at that point, when an offense comes, someone's done something that has hurt you or bothered you, you have a choice to fully forgive them and let that go, or to retain that and allow unforgiveness and then eventually bitterness take root in your life. But here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus deals with this subject directly. In fact, it was Peter that started off this conversation and brought out the truths that Jesus taught. Peter came and asked him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, "I don't say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, Peter probably thought he was being very spiritual when he said to Jesus, "Should I forgive him 7 times? And the reason I say that is because the Talmud, which we mentioned a few days ago, the book that the Jews had as a commentary on the law of Moses, which was many volumes long, over 6,000 pages in today's equivalent, actually taught that a person had to be willing to forgive someone who had offended them 3 times. So here was Peter saying, "Should I forgive him up to 7 times? Probably showing Jesus how liberal he was and being forgiving of heart. But Jesus said, "No, I don't say 7 times. I say up to 70 times 7, which represents essentially infinity. Never stop. Innumerable times should you be willing to forgive." And then from that point, Jesus launches into this parable of the unforgiving servant. And this is a critical parable that we must understand in order to grasp why it is so vital for every single Christian to be able to and to purpose in your heart to forgive every single person that ever sins against you, past, present, or future. Jesus begins by saying, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slave." So he starts out by saying, this is a kingdom principle. This is a kingdom of God principle. It can be compared to a king. And we are going to interpret this parable as we go, and the king represents God himself. So he wanted to settle accounts with his slaves or his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, there came one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents was a huge amount of money. In fact, if you will recall, King David and his fellow princes donated 8,000 talents of gold to the building of Solomon's temple, and that was a huge amount of money, worth over $10 million in today's economy. So here we have more than David's 8,000 talents, it's 10,000 talents. Now you may be wondering how on earth a slave would end up owing a king so much money. In other words, it would be unlikely that the king would have ever loaned him such a sum, but instead, it's most likely he had embezzled from the king this sum of money over a long period of time since he had been serving him, and it was discovered that he owed this money, and he was brought in before him. And obviously, this servant did not come forward himself, because the scripture specifically states one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. So it was discovered in the course of balancing the accounts that this money was missing, this person was responsible, he owed that money to the king. So he was brought in having embezzled and owed this huge sum of money to the king, which of course it would be absolutely and utterly impossible for him to repay it. And so when he begs the king, falling to the ground, saying, have patience with me and I will repay everything, that was an insincere statement, because there is no possible way on the salary of a servant or slave of a king he could ever possibly repay the money. But it says that the Lord, or the king of that slave, felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So this is an amazing picture. One who owed a great debt, who didn't even ask the forgiveness in the first place, but asked it after he was confronted with his sin, was forgiven by the king. So this picture is so clearly like our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. As human beings, we owe a great debt to God, a debt because of our sin and many other things. In fact, one writer put it very well when he said this: there are debts for time and talents wasted, debts for offenses committed, debts for duties neglected, debts for daily bread, health, friends, home, and for social peace and blessing, and also debts for gospel privileges. There are debts almost without number and variety that are all owed to God by man. So this parable shows this absolutely benevolent king fully and freely forgiving and releasing this man who owes him more than $10 million in debt and lets him go. And that was done, the scripture tells us, because the king felt compassion for him and forgave him the debt. And so it is with us. When we come to Christ and we receive forgiveness for all of our sins and our falling short and our not meeting God's standards, and he completely and totally forgives us, we are free from that debt that we owe to God. He made provision for it before we even asked. We didn't come and ask God's forgiveness before God made provision to forgive through Jesus more than 2,000 years ago. So in a way, we were just like that slave who didn't confess his sin to the king first. He was found out, and then he asked for mercy. We are like that. and yet God still forgave us. Well, then we see in this parable a turn of events. The slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which is equivalent to less than $20. And he grabs him and he begins to choke him and tells him, "Pay back what you owe me." So his fellow servant falls down and begins to plead with him, "Have patience with me and I will repay you." A very similar echo to what this same man had told the king. But the servant who had been forgiven by the king was unwilling to forgive his fellow servant, and he had him thrown in prison without any mercy until he would pay back the less than $20 that was owed to the man who had been forgiven over $10 million of debt. But the friends of that man who was thrown in prison would not let that just pass by. They went and reported it to the king because they were so deeply grieved about what had happened and about the injustice of the action of that unforgiving servant. And the king called him in and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, the king, was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now the next verse is very chilling, if you will. Jesus said to the people listening, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." That is one of the most chilling verses in the Bible. It essentially tells us that we will not be able to receive the forgiveness of God that is 100% needed in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to go to heaven when you die. If you don't have God's forgiveness, then you're separated from God by sin. But if you have God's forgiveness, you're ushered into the kingdom of God, into eternal life, into heaven, when you die. But this is a critical verse that needs to be understood by every single person. God will not allow somebody who refuses to forgive when God is freely and completely forgiven that person from his heart, if the individual will not forgive others who have sinned against them. It completely blocks you from entering the kingdom of God, from entering into eternal life. This is a big thing. And not only that, the scripture clearly states that the Lord will allow you to end up being tortured or tormented because you refuse to forgive. You know, when someone has unforgiveness in their heart, they hold on to something that someone did to them years ago, and maybe it was something really horrible. It could have been something very brutal. When you have unforgiveness in your heart and bitterness builds up, you are being tormented. You know, bitterness is torment. It's a torture to your emotions. When you have a scene replaying over and over in your mind and you won't let go of that thing because you're so mad at that person for doing that to you and ruining your life as you see it, that's torment. And this scripture clearly shows us that torment or torture that a person goes through when they hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, the Lord allows it. He just allows it because that person refuses to forgive someone else. That's a horrible thing, to be in torment by unforgiveness, by bitterness, by the spirit of revenge, by the desire to pay someone back for the evil they've done to that person. It's torment to have those thoughts going through your mind continuously, replaying, dreaming about it, having it intrude into your daily thought life because you refuse to forgive that person for that hurt. I have met with many people over the years of pastoral ministry who have told me, "I can't forgive. I can't. The sin's too big. The hurt's too deep. I can't forgive that person. How can I forgive that person? I'll be letting them off scot-free for what they did to me. I bring that up because this is often the stumbling block for a person to forgive somebody. Well, let's look at that and see if that's reality or if it's truth. It definitely torments people, but let's see if we can get past that to help you to learn to forgive every person, even the worst sinner who's ever sinned against you. First of all, forgiveness, choosing to forgive someone, is not putting a stamp of approval on the sin that they committed. It is not saying that what they did was okay or good or even allowable in the eyes of God. Forgiveness simply means that you will not hold that person accountable personally, that you have chosen not to retaliate or seek revenge for what was done to you, that you've made that choice. I'm not going to revenge or try to avenge this wrong myself. But many people feel that that's an unjust thing to do, that it's not justice. The person's not getting their just punishment. But God does not allow human beings to be the judges or the ones who issue punishment to anyone. And yet God is a great God of justice, and he's also a great God of mercy. But he does not allow human beings to be the ones who are the issuers of vengeance or the issuers of punishment or the issuers of any sentence for a certain sin. God does not allow that. God is the judge, the scripture tells us. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. These are God's words. So he has removed it from the realm of man to be the one who does any retaliation or punishment of someone else's sins. That's not our purview. That's not our area of authority. That belongs only to God himself. So when you choose to forgive, you're not letting the person off the hook from that sin, so to speak, so that they never receive any punishment or judgment for it. You have simply released it completely to God to deal with. And you can trust God. He's a just judge. And he loves you, and he loves even that person who sinned against you. But he is a God of justice. So when you forgive, you're releasing that person completely into God's hands and taking the burden of needing to punish or execute judgment or retaliate or in any way hold the person accountable personally to you for the sin that's been committed against you. Do you trust God? Then you should be able, by a choice of your will, to release that person completely into God's hand for the sin that's been committed against you. If you think about how God forgives us, then consider this truth. God separates your sin from you as a person. He separates the two things. He forgives you for the sins you've committed, and he no longer associates that sin with you, the person. God wants us to do the same thing. Separate the sin from the person. Forgive the human being for their weakness, for their sinfulness. And separate in your own mind and heart the sin from that person. Forgive the person. Let the Lord deal with the sin. That will help you so much. But if you keep those two things connected and you never let that go, you'll not be able to forgive, and you'll not be able to ever see that person in any other way except in that sin. If God saw us like that, we would never be able to have fellowship with God, because he would always be seeing us enmeshed in the sins we've committed. But instead, out of his great mercy and grace, he has separated the sin we've committed from ourselves, from our personhood, loved the person, not loved the sin. God always hates the sin. And it's right for you to hate the sin as well. But God has called us to love the persons, the people, and hate the sin. And so with God's help, if you can see it that way of separating the person and the sin, it will also make it easier for you to choose to forgive the person for their weakness, for their bondage that they're in, that caused them to sin against you, or whatever it is. And then to take the sin that was committed against you and say, Lord, I ask you to deal with this. I put this in your hands. I trust you completely to deal with this in a fair and just way. But I choose to forgive that person who's a human being just like me, who's a sinner just like me. And I make a decision of my will to fully forgive them for sinning against me. Just like you, Lord, fully forgave me for sinning against you so many times. And that is why I believe Jesus used this amazing parable, because it's an extreme parable. A slave that owes over $10 million to a king and has no way of repaying it and yet is forgiven by that king. It's so like our lives. If you added up all the sin of your entire life, from even your youngest days when you were accountable for your actions until this day that you're hearing this message, it would be over $10 million worth of sin. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek. In other words, obviously you can't put a price tag on it, but the point being, the extremity of the debt is equivalent to the extremity of our sin against God. If God really held you accountable for every single thing you've ever done, every wicked thought you've ever had, every wicked word you've ever spoken, and then every wicked deed you've ever committed, it would be an overwhelming debt that you could not repay to God. And so it is that God's saying to us, the sin that you've committed against me is a huge debt, and yet I forgive you freely. I love you freely. I don't see you as that sinner anymore. I see you clean because I separated your sin from you. And I made you whole and clean. Now, when you turn and look at someone who sinned against you, don't be like this wicked, unforgiving servant in the parable who grabbed the guy by the throat, throttling him, demanding his $20 that he owed. It's a ludicrous thought, but it's exactly what happens when we refuse to forgive someone in the light of the fact that God's forgiven us such a massive debt of sin in our lives. The last thing that I want to mention about this issue of willingness to forgive people is something that often stumbles people and causes them to feel like they cannot forgive. I've often spoken with people who have felt like the emotion that they have attached to the sin that was committed against them is so great that they can't feel like they could ever forgive the person because they keep thinking about the person. If their name comes up, if their face comes before them in their imagination, they become literally physically ill or have such a strong emotional reaction. They feel like they are absolutely restrained or bound from being able to forgive them. They can't do it emotionally. And yet, I want to simply say this to you. Forgiveness is not an emotion. And you may choose by an act of your will to forgive somebody, and your emotions still haven't caught up with the fact that you have decided in your heart to obey the word of God, to do what God wants you to do, and forgive the person and release the person, but your emotions haven't caught up with your choice to forgive. Remember, your will is able to make a decision that your emotions haven't come into agreement with, but they will come along if you allow the will to have the prominence in your life. In other words, you don't let your emotions rule you. If you let your emotions rule you, you would never forgive anybody because you don't feel like forgiving. No human being in their flesh ever feels like forgiving someone who has hurt them deeply. They feel like, I'll never forgive that person. They hurt me so much. But if you will allow your will to take priority and come into agreement with the Spirit of God who resides in your spirit if you're born again, and you will let your will agree with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and lead the way in your life and tell your emotions to hush, be silent, and just come along, then you will be able to get the victory over this. The trap that I've often seen people in is feeling like because they don't feel like forgiving, they can't forgive. And that is a lie that the devil tells people to keep them in bondage of unforgiveness. The devil knows if you don't forgive people, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And he'd be happy to take you to hell in your unforgiveness because he's trapped you and tricked you into thinking your feelings have to feel all lovey-dovey toward the person in order to forgive them. But that is not true. Your emotions need to be your servant, not your master. Your will needs to choose to agree with God's word that it is vital that we forgive because we've been forgiven a greater debt than we could ever repay. So we must forgive every single person that ever hurts us or sins against us in any way. And then when you choose and you act on in obedience to the word of God, the word to forgive, your emotions eventually catch up. And that is the beauty of it. I found a great story that really helped me to understand the importance of acting on the Word of God, and then your emotions will come along behind in response to those scriptural actions. And this story was shared in a book by Dr. Carol Thompson called The Bruises of Satan. And he told the story of a man that he knew. He was a businessman who had been cheated by a business partner. This man had essentially absconded with all the money and left him with the debts of a company, and it absolutely was devastating to him and to his family financially and in every other way, and he felt so betrayed by this former business partner. He was struggling to forgive this man because this businessman was a devout Christian. And he told Dr. Thompson the story and said that when he heard some years later about this man who had absconded with the money and cheated him, that he was moving to a new area trying to start over himself after going through a rough period, that the Holy Spirit prompted him to write him a letter and enclose a check to assist him with his moving expenses, which may seem so completely ridiculous in light of the fact that he owed this man, who was going to send him the check, money from having cheated him in business. Yet, he felt compelled to do it. He took a step, an action that was in agreement and in accordance with the Word of God about freely forgiving. And by taking that step, that literally was a step of blessing the person who had sinned against him, he said once he did that and mailed that check to him, he felt such a breakthrough in his spirit, in his emotions, because he had struggled with the emotion of feeling not feelings of love and forgiveness toward the man, though he had chosen to do it because he could see in the Word of God that he absolutely must. But he said once he took the step of action that demonstrated that he indeed forgave freely and completely and took an extra step of blessing the person who had cheated him, who had hurt him and his family, there was breakthrough in his emotions, and he no longer carried this burden in his emotions of the hurt and the betrayal that had occurred. God wants you to be free. God wants you to fully forgive. God wants you not to bear unforgiveness in your heart or bitterness in your heart. And he understands how he made us. He understands we're a complex human being with emotions, as well as an intellect, as well as a free will that's been given to us. God wants us to use our free will to come in agreement with the Word of God and with God's plans. God wants us to make our emotions our servant, not our master. So when we're struggling in our emotions, we must choose by an act of our will to agree with God, to do what God would have us to do, to act like God, to bless when we've been cursed. And that's exactly what the businessman did when he sent the man who had cheated him a check to help him with his moving expenses. God blessed that man and turned things around and freed him from all the emotional baggage he was carrying with regard to this injury that had been inflicted on him by that cheating, betraying business partner. Maybe you've been deeply hurt by someone in your life, and maybe you have chosen by an act of your will to forgive, and yet in your emotions you're still experiencing torment about it. Then I want to encourage you today, consider this. Take a step that will force your emotions to come into alignment with your will to forgive. Make a step of blessing toward the person who has hurt you, offended you, or in some way sinned against you. God will bless that. God will help you, and it will bring a breakthrough in your life. God wants us to be like that benevolent king who can forgive the largest debt that's ever owed to us with a free heart. God bless you and give you a victorious week.